You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Well, I was here getting ready to be practicing on getting a client consultation and such from Jay. Oh, we're here with Jay Ward. He's with Bills and Sundberg, right?
That's right.
They're good folks over there.
They are.
I know Brian and John. They're terrific. Now, listen, I'd rather talk about some of the myths, because we were talking about some of the things and you were surprising the heck out of me. And I think people need to be woken up to this. How about the phone calls I get that I don't know who the people are?
Yeah, so that's it's called spoofing. So what you'll get is, if you've ever gotten a call from your phone number, the way it works is they'll call you and it'll be the area for you. So if it's 305 blah blah blah,
right?
And it'll look like a number that's
right, a real number.
And the reality is, these are just robocalls that are being out there, and they target Miami in particular because there's a lot of senior citizens here. There's folks who are vulnerable, who don't know when they get a phone call that it's somebody who's trying to scam them.
Oh, my mom's had her ID stolen. Heck, I've had my ID stolen. Yep. Well, I'm over 50. So does it count me yet? Do I count as an old person yet? I don't think so. Wanda told me I was young just earlier today. Thank you, Wanda, for helping me feel good, by the way.
Sure.
So that's the phone calls. Now let's go back to the passwords. People always tell me it's got to be more than 8 things. It's got to be complex. It can't be a name. For E, use a 3 reverse, whatever. I don't know. I don't like using a small L because it looks like a 1. There you go. I'm confused.
Well, yeah. You hit on 2 important points. One is, we've sort of been trained to make passwords that are very hard to remember but very easy to crack. the reality is, and this I got to give credit to XKCD who came up with these. He's an engineer. But the idea is, if you have a password that's 7 characters long, but there's an exclamation mark and a tilde and it's very weird looking, that you're going to be safer than if you put this morning I had a ham sandwich as your password. But the reality is the fewer characters, it's going to be cracked like that. They make programs now. I saw this earlier today. Any 8 characters hacked, any 8 character password broken in 5 hours or less.
How long does it have to be as I pulled out my list?
Well, the longer the better. The longer the better. And what I typically do is I come up with easily rememberable phrases that I use. And those are just my password phrases. And I have them, different passwords for different things.
Understood.
You don't want to have your email password be your bank password. But it's all really about entropy. It's math, which is why I don't understand it, and that's why I went to law school.
What's entropy mean?
Entropy is how complicated it is and how long it would take to be broken down. And if you have a password that's sufficiently complex, it'd take hundreds of years for someone to break it. If it's not complex enough, if it is password, when Yahoo had all of its accounts hacked, they did analytics, and pretty much every one of the most common passwords were still password 12345. If you can avoid being one of those passwords that's hacked very quickly, they'll move on, because it doesn't make sense to focus on one person when the next guy's got just as much chance of being easier to pack.
Hack. When you talk about that, I'm thinking about the spy movies where they plug the thing in and the number goes, and then it rolls 3 and then they open up the lock.
Yeah, that's about as realistic as when you watch one of those crime procedurals and they're like, enhance.
Oh, you're too funny. Yeah. You're too funny. Now, what's some other myths that are common that people think are safe and they're not?
Well, I think people assume that if something's written on a piece of paper, that it's
stop
safe.
That.
No, it's true. One thing that I talk to clients about is, it's not just about having good passwords. It's about who has access to your information. And your information is kept everywhere. It's on paper. It's on notes. It's on your computer. So who gets to see it? Why do they get to see it? And why are you keeping it? And if you can't answer those questions reasonably, you got to rethink what you're doing.
Well, look, you're talking to a guy that covers up the TV camera on his computer.
You should absolutely do that. You 100% should be covering up the webcam camera on your laptop.
Yeah, Wanda's nodding.
Definitely.
Yeah, Wanda, you do that on yours too, huh?
Well, because it's in my bed. It's on bed. On my bed particularly. I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've Oh, perfect example. The computer's open, you're streaming something onto your TV or big video monitor, but you're not using the primary monitor and you forget about it.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Scaring
and then you
me.
And then you call Amex and they ask you what your secret password
oh
is.
Oh my God, yep. You're right. Yep.
I had a friend who had an open Facebook account, and it listed his hometown. And so he called, it was listed there, so someone called Amex and said that they pretended to be him, and of course,
his password place of birth. Was his, oh God.
So all of a sudden, he had some unrecognizable charges from Moscow, too. So it's really, it's not just about, you know, files that are encrypted. That's, you know, information management and data security is a lot more than just how do I prevent being hacked. It's how do I be thoughtful about the information that I have?
You should do like a memo or a blog about this and put out all these little things, but then maybe you'd get hacked.
Yeah, that's probably true. I have a podcast, actually, called The Data Report. And as long as it's not on Thursdays between 6 and 7, I encourage your listeners to check it out and hear what I have to say.
Hold on a second. I do have a dime here somewhere to give you.
Yeah.
Now, Wanda, what am I forgetting to ask? Anything good that I'm forgetting here?
No, I'm not. Not that I can think of.
Okay, good.
Keep thinking. I will take some phone calls.
Huh? Well, is there a phone call?
Well, I mean, you know, if anyone's out there and they've got questions, by all means, give us a call.
All right, 305-541-2350. But now, Jay, we only have really a couple of minutes left. So I want to go back to some of the things that we said in the beginning, because people, it's radio and they're in their car and they get out. So lay the foundation. Why should people care about why their data is secure or not? I mean, it sounds pretty stupid. People don't really think about it, I guess.
Well, that's true. They don't. And, you know, we constantly trade privacy and security for convenience. And that's why we have a lot of easily accessible information that's out there that can be used against you. So I tell people to treat their privacy like currency, and they should spend wisely. Think about the information you have and be careful with how you use it.
Wanda?
What about pictures? Like, I understand, like, people can take your pictures and use your pictures. Is that possible?
That is absolutely possible.
What are they using it for?
How do you protect your pictures?
Well, it's a question of how accessible you make your pictures.
Oh, the pictures in the clouds that were stolen and put on the internet and stuff.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. How do you protect against that? Everybody uses it. I have tried to keep it on my computer only for so long, but at a certain point, I got to say it, I feel like I got to give in.
Yeah, well, Jim Gaffigan did a bit about how our computers basically just become photo albums and we put them away after a while.
It's true.
So, look, the cloud is a valuable tool and everybody uses it, and it's going to become, you know, a part of daily life, just like the Internet of Things and all the other buzzwords that we put hashtags in front of. But if you're careful about what you put up, how you put it up there, and if you're thoughtful about how you can have access to it, that's how you can protect yourself. Again, there's no way to be 100% sure. You could have had a phenomenal password with Yahoo, and you still would have lost all of your information. You had it accessed because they were hacked. So you're only as strong as the weakest link in the chain of information you have.
And so then that's why these big companies, they send the little emails, and some, they just bombard them like surreptitiously, and then somebody clicks and the whole thing is done, and you see the, you know, next season's Game of Thrones a week early or something?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a letdown, but, you know, yeah, that's exactly what happens. You know, there's different types of cyber criminals. There's the people who do it for a purpose. They're hacktivists. You know, they're out there trying to change things. And there's people who do it for lulls. They do it, you know, because it's fun, or that they want to see if they can get away with it. And there's no predicting who you're going to be going up against. So you have to be thoughtful about how you protect your information. And if you're a business or a company, you really have to ask yourself those questions and you know, maybe do it with a lawyer.
Oh, well, and let's get to that now, because we're running out of time. I want to make sure we get that part in there. If people want to find you, they want more information, they'd like a consultation, they'd like you to review their list of passwords, what do they do?
Just go to bilzen.com and you can find me, Jay Ward. You can also look for my podcast called The Data Report. You can get it on the iTunes store or any other podcast streaming service, and talk about these issues. And I'm always interested in emails and having conversations. So reach out.
Awesome. This was great. You know, we've got only a couple minutes left. So what was your last podcast about?
Right now I'm talking about the GDPR. I'm talking about those regs from Europe that are going to come into effect over here. And, you know, if in the U.S., there's no general privacy law, there's no general data security law. And so it's really a creature of state law or lawsuits. In the EU, if you violate the GDPR, there's escalating penalties.
Which is what? The GDPR?
The General Data Protection Regulation.
Okay.
But everything has to be an acronym, the GDPR.
Okay. Well, so, you're a lawyer. I got to pay you to find out what that means.
Right. And that's, well, let's call
Unless
that
a half. Unless I got that code cracking thing.
Yeah, we'll call it a half an hour.
Okay.
So the GDPR has this escalating series of penalties. And if they find that you engaged in like what they'll consider an egregious breach, you know, you really weren't protecting information on EU citizens, the fine is 200 million euros or 4% of your global annual turnover. So 4% of revenues.
Oh my God, I bet Apple's kind of looking at this.
Yeah, well, Apple and all the money that they have stored in Ireland and Google and all the money they have in Ireland, they're nervous.
Gosh, oh my gosh. Well, listen, it's really been a pleasure, Jay. I really appreciate it. I want to thank my friends at Bills and Sundberg for introducing us. Especially want to thank my good friend Adam Lustig, who's the person that introduced us, the rising star in real estate. I love that guy, rising star in real estate. But really appreciated all my friends at Bills and Sundberg. Stan Price on down. It's just been absolutely great. I can't thank you enough. Jay, I hope you'll come back sometime soon and give us a new update.
Be my pleasure.
All right, Wanda, take it away. Let's rock the house.